first, as we open his word, that he would indeed open our hearts and our eyes, that we might see him in a greater way here today. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for Jesus. Amen. And Lord, we come today with open hearts, Lord, that we might hear from you, that we might see Jesus in a greater light. Lord, we feel today like those Greek sojourners in the scripture who came to the apostles and said, we would see Jesus. Help us, Lord, to see Jesus today. Now, Lord, bless your word. We're thankful for all things, and we do pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a short time about movements. Movements. God's movements and our movements towards God. I am a product of one of God's movements. You remember back in the 70s, they called it the Jesus movement. I was a part of that. All of a sudden, in America, there were home studies that were opening up, and people were bringing people in their house for little prayer meetings and little Bible studies, and I got invited to a few of them. And then, of course, I had friends who were devout Christians who witnessed to me every day. I don't know if I ever told you this. Early on, I was opening a business with a friend of mine, a jewelry business. We both worked for Tiffany's. Tiffany's, remember they had the place in the park, the big red building? That's where they made the first Super Bowl trophy, right in that building. And we were both working there, and we were going to open up a business. So we bought some equipment, and we bought some silver and some stones, and we used to meet in his cellar. We got a little place put together in his cellar where we were doing this. So every day after my regular work, I would go there. And his parents were Christians. And every day I would go and I would come in, they would witness to me. It got to be so that I told them, I said, John, please, open the door down to the basement from the outside so I don't have to go through the house anymore. They would witness to me every time, but thank God they did. And in fact, in their yard later on, why is this hard? Later on, I found the Lord right there in their house. So I was a part of the movement. And God has many movements. It was just in the 70s, just after probably the most volatile and disruptive decade in America's history, the 60s, when everything went south. Drugs became apparent, and livacious living was honored. The institutions were turning from God. They were taking prayer out of schools. They were taking the Bible study out of schools. The workplace, it became dangerous to lift up Jesus in the workplace. So the institutions are turning, but God is saving. Individuals are coming to know Jesus because the movement of Jesus in our hearts. God's movements can be subtle or they can be profound. There were two evil nations in the Old Testament. One was Assyria, the other Sodom and Gomorrah. Both of them are evil nations. For Assyria, God deals with them by sending them Jonah, and the whole nation comes to repentance. For Sodom and Gomorrah, he sends his angels to take his people out, and fire and brimstone. So God has movements, but they're his movements. And it's contingent upon us to open our hearts and our eyes that we can see what he is doing and where he is going. Right now, the the United States of America and appreciate your praying for the United States every Sunday. It is in a rough spot. There are things happening in America that you could never have imagined, even 15, 20 years ago. Never would have imagined. But they're happening. And we need to be able to see what God is doing. God can be subtle, or God can be very profound. If you think about in the book of Acts, you had those two people, that married couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of their property. Now, that property was theirs. Profits were theirs to do with whatever they wanted. They could have put it in their pocket. They would have been okay. But what they did was they lied about what they were given. They said, we gave all to the church. They lied. And of course, you know, God took their lives from them. God can be subtle. God can be profound. I want to turn to the first portion of Scripture in God's movement, to a very familiar Scripture. In fact, familiar that we were here just a couple of weeks ago reading from this Scripture. But maybe you want to turn with me to the 15th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 15. We'll talk about that young boy who took his father's inheritance and spoiled it. And want to watch a little bit about God's movement and his movements in this area. Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he, of course, Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said to his slaves, quickly, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, has come to life again, and was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. One of the most common parables of the Bible. Everybody knows the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus speaking tells us of this boy who took his inheritance, went off, living foolishly, becomes impoverished. Not only that, but he has to take a job that to this young Jewish boy would have been the most miserable of all jobs, in the pen feeding the swine, the unclean animal. He begins a movement. We're looking at movements here. He begins a movement, and it begins in his heart. And it begins with, as we would look at it, the word. He remembers what is going on in his father's house. And he says, even those my father hired have enough food to eat. I have nothing. Consider the thought on this trip as he's walking home. What's going to happen here? What's my father going to say? What's my father going to do? Look what I deserve. You ever feel like that sometimes as you're dealing with God? What's God going to do? I don't deserve any of his goodness. What's God going to do? What will he do? What can be the outcome of this? And we're told here that actually the father sees the son, and look at the difference in the exuberance and the dismay. The son walking head down, beating himself up, and the father coming running. Now, you know what I'm thinking of this? I'm thinking about the son looks up, he sees the father coming. What's he going to do? Is he going to say, stop, come no further? You've disgraced everybody. You've disgraced my name. You've disgraced this house. Come no further. Go away. Could have been the outcome. But it was not the outcome. And as you know, the father wraps his arms around him and welcomes him back in. You know, it's like Jesus did on the cross. When the father wrapped his arms around that son, he still had the stench of those pigs on him and on his clothes. He still had the dirt of the pen, the pig pen, on him and on his clothes. And the father didn't say, servants, come, clean him up. I want to hold him. I want to welcome him. Immediately, with all the stench and all the dirt, wraps his arms around them. It's a little bit like Jesus did for us on the cross. When he went to the cross, nothing was taken care of beforehand, but all the sins of the world, from the beginning till tomorrow, were laid upon him on the cross. Nothing was cleaned up. All the dirt, all the pain, all the shame was laid, and he took it for us. He embraced us just as this father embraced his son. The son sees his father running. What's he going to do? Oh my, what's going to happen? I run into that frequently. I think I told you this last time. Knowing that I'm unworthy, knowing who I am, I have to often remember that the word says that I am a forgiven person and he comes to me as I am. Thank God. He looked at me on that day I was telling you about those many years ago, and he saw me for who I was, and thank God he didn't. He accepted me there but wouldn't let me stay there, and through the course of years has made a great difference. The movement of God in one person's life, God's move upon our hearts. May we in these coming days and in these evil and dark days be able to see his movement in a clear manner so that we are able to work with him. Will he put up his hand and say, no, go away. You already got what you already got what you were supposed to. You blew it. But no, grace and mercy. Feeding those pigs was the ultimate failure. And the stench remains upon his clothes. His father doesn't stop. Wraps his arms around him. Took upon him his uncleanness. Just as Jesus did for us. Just as he took on the sins of the world. Just as he took on my sins. My sins. Bring a robe. Put it on him. Cleansing doesn't come from anything else than the covering of Jesus. Dirty and stinking, The Father says, you bring that robe, you put it right on him, right? Don't clean him up. Don't clean him up. Don't do that. Put the robe on him. When Jesus went to the cross, and then when he came to me, there wasn't a, well, you have to do this first, or you have to do that first. The covering for my sins and my life came straight from the cross as Jesus embraced me and all of us. Bring the robe, put it on him. The cleansing does not come from anything else. We cannot look to anything else for our relationship to be strengthened with God than Jesus himself rising up in our life. Don't get me wrong. Faith without works is dead. Do some good things. Do some good things. Do some good things at home, in the community, where you work. Do some good things. But your standing with God, our standing with God, comes only from the covering that Jesus gave us on the cross, and that alone, that movement there. Jonah ran away, got swallowed up by that fish, but it was God's divine mercy and his grace that brought him back to the land where he was able to go and preach, and the whole nation of Assyria repented. It wasn't in anything. Anything Jonah did was going in the wrong direction. But what God does, his movements in our lives, always will bring us back in a right way. Bring the ring. Bring the shoes. Bring the fatted calf. The Father exuberant, the Son dismayed. I don't know where anybody is today, if you're dismayed, if you're worried, if you're fearful. There's strange things happening around us. We trust in, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. We trust in things. The trust we have needs to be in a God who moves towards us, who saves us, and who lifts us up. God's movement. What's coming into this world? Judgment. Judgment is coming. But I really believe that there's going to be a moment of mercy of God before that final time when God will come in judgment. There's going to be a movement of mercy that will make the Jesus movement of the 70s seem minuscule. There will be a time of mercy, a time of grace, where the name of Jesus will be lifted up, where we will speak the name of Jesus, and God will do great and wonderful things. That young boy, I love it when it says, he came to his senses. What a beautiful picture that is of human beings. We have all these thoughts. We go here. We do this. We make mistakes. How many times have you done this? Why did I do that? How could I have done that? If I hadn't done that, I tell you what, I could look back on my life and I can list a plethora of things. And I say, if I didn't do that, I'd be much better off today. But he came to his senses. And thank God, I thank God each and every day that he opened this truth up to me. And that on whenever it happens, I say, no, but Jesus. Yeah, I am, but Jesus, but for Jesus. And that young boy, stinking of pig, coming home to his father, is welcomed with open arms. It's Jesus telling these people, that's who we are. That's who I am. That's who my Father is. When you come to your senses and you come back with two open arms, God moves in great ways. Turn with me, if you want, also to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua and the first chapter, and we'll read from the first verse. Joshua chapter 1 and at verse 1. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke with Joshua, to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possessions of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's three times in that short scripture where God exhorted his people, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. For God knew where they were going. They were going to go into a land filled with cities, with armaments, with people much larger than them, more settled than them. They would come up against armies that were settled and were trained. And these were people just coming in from wandering around in the desert for 40 years. God was saying, you be courageous. No man will be able to stand before you. I will give you this land. God's movement in his people. I'm going to do this. You follow me, you just be courageous. But something had to happen. And something has to happen often in the experience of God's people with God. Moses is dead. That very thing that you've trusted in for 40 years is gone. That very anchor to this people, the one who held you together, the one who led you here, led you there, fed you, gave you water, is dead. What we trusted in is no longer there. Now, some of you, like me, are growing a little bit older. I used to be able to trust in getting on a ladder and climbing up that ladder to the second portion of my house and fix whatever needed to be done. I had to hire a guy last week to come and do one of those things for me that I would have done in a moment. But things are changing. Things change. God doesn't change. Things change. Moses is dead. What you trusted in, what you knew is gone, but now I am going to lead you. I am going to bring you into this land of milk and honey. God will take away what we had, and he will give us what we need for the next part of our journey. He will take away what we had, and He will add to us what we need for the next part of our journey. As we leave this church today, as we go, God will give us what we need to finish this day, this week, the coming month. He is not unaware of what's going to come about in June for us. He's not unaware. And he'll take something away, but He'll always give us what we need in order to do what is necessary. Moses is dead. Now therefore arise. I imagine for the people of Israel, it was a monumental and disheartening experience. Moses is dead. The one we saw come down from the mountain, the one we saw with the aura of God, the one who always had the answer, is dead. But there's a reason why Moses had to die. Now, we know about the rock in the desert. When God told him to hit the rock and bring the water out, Moses, instead of hitting the rock, hit it twice. And for that, God said, you will not enter into the promised land. He didn't follow the direction clearly. And it probably out of anger, hit the rock twice. But there was another reason why Moses couldn't go into the promised land. You see, God receives the glory for the good things that happen to His people. Now, you may be very smart. And you may be able to do things and get accomplishments and I don't know, write great things or whatever. But God receives the glory because He gave that ability to you. He gives us that ability. And it's important that God receives the glory. You see, it could not be said that Moses brought us out of Egypt, Moses led us through the wilderness, and Moses brought us into the promised land. No, God brings us into the promised land. We have a lot of abilities. We have families. We have this, we have that. But it's God that receives the glory for all that we have and for all that we do. God receives the glory and does not share. It will never be said that Moses brought us in. God said, now arise. Moses is dead. Now arise. Walk over that Jordan. Jordan symbolizing newness, something new coming. And it will be God that will do that. Same ways today. We have things we trust in. I have a 401k. I hope you have one. I have family. I have a job. I have various things. And I trust in them. But they could be taken away in a minute, in a minute. My health. But God can never be taken away. We have the things we trust in. We can all be gone. It can all be gone in an instant. We need to find a way, especially in these dark days, to increase our trust in God, to increase our understanding of God. I mean, look what happened very recently. People in North Carolina, in a matter of a day, everything they have washed away. In California, in the matter of a couple of days, everything burned away. Everything gone. Moses is dead. But you arise. And you go where I'm telling you to go. I will give you that land. Wherever your foot lands, wherever you go, I will give it to you. And there won't be anybody there who will be able to take it away from you, for I am giving it to you. God's movement with His people. Their movement, simply to follow the directions. Simply to get up and cross and walk in. May God grant us the grace and the strength to recognize his call, to recognize his movement, and give us the grace and strength to follow through that we may receive his blessing. All gone in a minute. Arise, go in. No man will be able to stand against you. This isn't the first time they heard it. Deuteronomy 31:8, Moses addressing them, knowing he's going to die, said, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or do not be dismayed." I think as we look through the scriptures, there is a common element, theme that we see. Don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed. Moses said it. Now, Joshua saying it, and you'll hear that through to the New Testament. Don't be afraid. And I think the reason why it is mentioned so many times in the scriptures is because we innately are fearful people. I can't see tomorrow. God can see tomorrow. I don't know about May, but God knows about May. And his movement for us is wake up and pray, seek my face, and move in my direction. And the promise will be there for each and every one of us. May his name be praised. God's movement takes away what they trusted for years. And now he is their trust. They have to trust him. Verse 8. Is a key element of all that we need. Key element here. This is our movement, folks. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." The writer in Hebrews, well, it's a New Testament, I'm not sure if it's Hebrews, but it said, be careful, Paul said it, so it wasn't Hebrews. Be careful that you lose out on the simplicity that there is in Christ Jesus. Be careful. Don't lose out on the simplicity. He told us, he gives us the word, we read it, it enlivens our hearts and our souls, and it gives us our direction to follow after him. Be careful. On this you shall meditate day and night. May God increase my understanding of his word. May he always give me the impetus to study what he said. May we all increase in that and grow in that on a daily basis. You know, it's not Moses. It wasn't Moses that was the key to their getting into the promised land, to receiving the goodness of God. It's always been his calling. It's always been his direction. It's always been his power that gives us the strength to gain anything that we will have in our Christian life. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Our vindication is from him. We follow him. He directs the path. Thanks be to God. You know, when you go home tonight and look in the mirror, you're going to see somebody looking back at you. Well, there's going to be an envelope that's going to come in the mail, and you're going to open it. And you go, oh, my. And you're going to say, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't. And you know where I work. I got people every day. They say, I can't go. I can't get along anymore. I can't. You look in the mirror and you're going to look at this person. I look in the mirror and say, this person can't do what's necessary. And it's true. It's not being defeatful. It's true. I can't. But he can. Blessed be his name. He can. Shout yes. That's true. I can't. But God can. And it's all about the power and the plan of God. It's always been about the power and the plan of God. From that day I told you about, though many years ago, when I said that prayer and received Jesus and walked home without my feet touching the ground, it's always been about his plan and his power. And the only deviations that I've encountered when it was no longer his plan I was following, but my own. When it was not his power I was counting on, but my own. May God grant us the grace to move back. Now, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in God's movement. There always will be. These people arise, cross the Jordan, be of encouragement. But there's going to be a Jericho. You're going to run into Jericho with those huge walls. Now, how's this ragtag army with no real weaponry, how are they going to defeat Jericho? It's not in their power. March around. How silly. Well, I shouldn't say silly because it's not silly what God's doing. But how strange it must have been marching around that city, blowing trumpets, but watching the walls break down. Do you have any walls today? Are there any walls that are impeding you from taking that next step, from getting that? Do you see any walls concerning your families, your loved ones? There's walls that they can't get past. You can't get past. Begin to praise God. Begin to listen to God. Begin to praise him, and the walls will come down. We get an account given to us in 1 Samuel, in the 17th chapter. And it has to do with that young boy, David. On one day, wars were different back then. If America goes to war tomorrow, family isn't going to be bringing food to their loved one who's a soldier. But back in those days, families would bring food. And Jesse said to David, said, here's your basket. Bring this food to the battle so your brothers can eat. I want your brothers to be able to eat. When he gets there, he sees this huge enemy cursing God's people. And he looks around. Nobody's doing anything. So he says, why isn't anybody doing anything? He also said, it was very interesting, what does the person who defeats him, what do they get? David was always thinking. Not only, why isn't anybody, but what do they get if whoever goes and does that? David is on the journey, on the movement to become the king. He's going to become the king. That's his movement. But there will be many enemies between the king and the boy. And there are many enemies between us and what we're going to gain, what we're looking to accomplish in God. There will be enemies. And those enemies, whether they be fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, whatever they may be, they will always try to own us. The enemy said to David, your people will serve us. There's always things for the human being, for the flesh, that are trying to own us, that are trying to get us to serve it. David's on his journey to become king. And when he goes to that battle, the giant says, I want your people to serve me. This formidable thing that David has no power over, trying to get the people to serve him. Luke 10, Jesus gave us authority. Notice, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nothing. I give you this power. Notice as we sit here, as we sit at home, that there is a power that's available to us, that whatever envelope we're opening and saying, oh no, whatever difficulty that should arise, Jesus gives authority. 1 Samuel 17:45 is the key. You don't have to turn there. I have it. I'm going to read that. This is the key. This is something, if we can put it on our hearts, if we can keep it on our mind, we will be successful because God will get the glory. And that's the important part. And this is why. And that all this is David speaking. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That giant standing there taunting the nation of Israel every day, you're going to serve us. In the end, you're going to serve us. David says, no, he will give this into our hands. God will do that work. Movements, so many. The apostles, Jesus is gone. That which they knew, taken from them. Again, Moses is dead. Jesus is gone. They're in the upper room. The doors are locked. The windows are closed. The Spirit comes, fills them. And the next thing we see, they're in the street preaching, and 5,000 people come to know the Lord in one day. From fear and dismay, that which we trusted in, that which we had, that which we believed in, is not here. But the power of God brings it back. And they go from the upper room to the streets, preaching and praising, and many come to know Jesus. Folks, wherever and from whatever place God will move, if we'll open our hearts to him, and we will see his move, and we will go in as he would ask us to do, we're going to see great victory. He told Joshua, go in, be encouraged, keep my word, and your way will prosper. And that has to do with, yes, they were going to gain. They were going to gain monetary houses they didn't build, they would live in. Things they didn't do, they would have. But it also had to do with a spiritual aspect. As we believe God, as we move in his movement, as we do what he tells us to do, our spiritual experience will increase exponentially. May his name be praised. Trusting in God in these coming days, that he will show us in these dark days, he will show us, and we will indeed grow in his grace. Father, how thankful we are, Lord, that you have given us your word. You have given us your life. Lord, you indwell us with your spirit. We who are not worthy, but Lord, you are worthy. We sang it today, Lord. You are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, Lord, as we read your word today, impress it upon our hearts. Lord, touch our hearts. Give us, Lord, a strength and a courage to find your will and to do your will. Help us, Lord. We're in need of your help, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God.